along with the themes of different dinim derabbanan that were instituted, the tikkun olam, just to make things run a little bit smoother in society. Many of the takanas were in the realm of dinim mamonos. In monetary law, so the Bezin has a lot of leeway, hefker, Bezin, hefker. So here the Mishnah gives us some other examples. So the Mishnah begins, Cheresh Romez v'Nirmaz. The unique halachic status of a Cheresh, somebody who cannot speak and cannot hear, so that individual is considered to be a lav bar das. Anything that he does doesn't really count. He doesn't have the ability to buy and to sell. So that's a little bit problematic because no one's going to want to deal with him. No one's going to be able to do any business with him. So you can have a Cheresh who has a lot of property, and he may be able to give us a little bit of a sense as to what's going on. But since Minatori is a lav bar das, he wouldn't be able to involve any business activities. So with the Rabbanan, they made a takana that he can hint us, he can romance minervas, he can make gestures with his hands, indications that he understands a little bit what's going on. And even though Minatori is not a bar das, but the Rabbanan, as long as we're pretty sure that's what he wants to do, we're going to accept it. So romance minervas. Remember, Seira covets for nikvats. Remember, Seira says that even if you can't make a hand gestures, you can just make lip movements, indicating that he probably agrees or disagrees with what we're saying. That's also good. So the Gemara explains that that's even a lower level of indication that he really knows what's going on. But this entire takana was only instituted by metaltalin, not by karakos. So a cheresh was yoresh, a big piece of property. So we're not going to rely on these kind of gestures for him to transfer ownership on a $1 million piece of property. We're talking about him buying a bag of potatoes or something. He went to go to the store and buy something. So min haTorah, we can't rely on what he's doing. But the Rabbanan, as long as he's either Romans, Benyamos, or Kovitz, Benikmas, those are all good enough. A similar takana was made for Pe'utos, with little children who are under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So min haTorah, they're considered to be Labanei Das, and they cannot purchase or sell anything. But that's also going to be difficult for them. So with the Rabbanan, because I made a takana, if their Pe'utos are old enough to basically understand what's going on. So a 10-year-old kid, he made $1 in his allowance, and he goes to the store and buys himself some bubble gum. So with the Rabbanan, the kidney is going to be chal because he understands a little bit what's going on. So again, with the Minatora, none of these people can actually be involved in business. With the Rabbanan, to make life easier for them, so they instituted in very, very limited, but metalta, not by karka. If you have a 10-year-old kid who wants to sell a $1 million little real estate tycoon, so that's not going to work. So Amr of Nachman. So Nachman tells us, metalta, and this machlokes is only true when it comes to selling metalta. Means Ben Beseiru was very lenient and said even just lip movements is good enough. That kul was only by metaltlin. But a git in divya kol b'ramiza, when it comes to giving a get, so then for sure you need the higher level of indication. Now, what does it mean to give a get? So here Rashi makes reference to sugyas in gittin later on, and it says Yavamos, min haTorah, cheresh cannot divorce his wife. But how was he married to her in the first place? So if he got married to her when he was healthy, and now he's always married to min haTorah, and now later he comes to cheresh, that's a big problem. So then there's actually no way for him to divorce his wife. He's married min haTorah, and he's a lav bar das min haTorah, that's a big problem. But what if he was a cheresh all along? So he was never really married to min haTorah. Chazal instituted a takana that a cheresh could get married. So with the Rabbanan, he got married. With the Rabbanan, he could divorce her. So if we're only dealing with the Rabbanan to buy the marriage anyway, with the Rabbanan, we're going to let you get away with this very, very low-level kind of a get. However, I'm not saying, imkol zeh, still a get. Be to get midrabbanan, and therefore we're going to insist on the higher level of this higher standard of proof that he knows what's going on. Ben Beseir is not going to be makel until you do actual remiz, until he actually moves his hands around. Pshita the Gemara says that distinction between gittin and metaltlin is obvious. But metaltlin tonight, Ben Beseir said explicitly that it only works by metaltlin. So ma'al the tema, I would think after metaltlin, I would think that also by metaltlin it works because metaltlin. If you think about it. The person really owns it. Min haTorah really owns the property. So maybe we should be more machmir by metal than by gittin. Kamash b'la, no. That the kulas of Ben Beseiro were a unique kula owned by metal than not by gittin. Ikid the Amr, the other version of Rav Nachman said, Amr of Nachman, kamachlaik is metal than kamachlaik is by gittin. That the same way that the Tanoim were arguing whether we need the higher level of hand gestures or it suffices with the lower level of just moving his mouth, that machlaik was both metal than as well as for Gittin. And again, the case of Gittin, that's only with the Rabbanan. He only got married as a Cheresh anyway. I have Hanan betalvin, and I but the Mishnah says betalvin. Nah, im af betalvin. The Mishnah meant to say also betalvin. Betalvin and Gittin, it's all the same thing that the Chachamim said the high level is necessary. Remember, Seira was willing to accept the lower level. Hapa'utas mechach mechach amemkar memkar betalvin. Then the second half of the Mishnah was that the children know a little bit what's going on in the marketplace, so we'll let them buy and sell things also the betalvin. Yad kama. How old are those children? So Machmir Rabbi Yehuda Levitzach Berei, so Rabbi Yehuda showed his son Rabbi Yitzchak Kibar Shis Kibar Shev. He's 6 years old, 7 years old. That's old enough to know what's going on. Rav Kahana Omar Kibar Shev Kibar Tamnei. Rav Kahana said 7 or 8. The Masnisa Tana, the Brice had said Kibar Teish Kibar Eser. It said 9 or 10. So half of we're getting it's quite a range from 6 to 10. So below Pligi the says it's not really a talk like this. It depends how sharp the kid is. So you can have some 6-year-olds who are maneuvering pretty well. You have some 10-year-olds who are not so sure exactly what's going on. You have some 58-year-olds don't know how to do a business so well. So you have a little bit of a range here. So the bottom line is that again, Ben HaTorah, none of this works. But the Rabbanim, they instituted it, and they left each child. The time of mind, why did they make this dakar in the first place? In order to enable the child to survive. Because you can have a child who may have to do business. No one else is really taking care of him so well. And he wants to go to the store and buy food. No one's going to want to sell him anything because it's not binding. So they made a tekana called the pe'utos. So since the Gemara quoted a statement from Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov of Rabbi Yochanan, not the most common, Rabbi Yaakov was not such a common person in the Gemara. So the Gemara quotes another statement that he made that had absolutely nothing to do with this topic. Just literally just a tangential because his name was mentioned before. So this is a pasuk in Sefer Melachim that's discussing the Melech Yehu, that Yehu was a king who ended up, he was appointed basically by Kadosh Baruch Hu to be the king to destroy the house of Achab. Achab was the Obed of Adazara, terrible one of the Melech Yisrael. And Yehu basically rebelled against him and wiped out the base Achab. So after Yehu got rid of all the Obed Adazara, so then he tried to play a trick on the Obed HaBaal. He said to them, okay, I'm going to now let you guys do whatever you want. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you the proper supplies. Let's get this Obed Adazara going back together. He wanted to get, almost like bring them all out of the woodwork. He wanted to find out who was still the diehard of the Venezuela, and he was going to remove them as well. So he says, so Yehu plays this trick, and he says, Lashel about the person who was in charge of the clothing, says, Hotel of Bush, he said, bring out all the old stuff that the of the Abal used to use, all the priest's garments, bring them out. We're going to get this idol worshiping going up again. And then they fell for the trick, and then he ended up removing whoever was still loyal to the Avodah Zarah. So my Maltacha, what is that posuk, what does that word mean? It's a little bit of a vague term. The one in charge of the Maltacha, Amar Bi Abba Bar Yaakov, that's why we quote it. He's the one who said, Amar Bi Yochanan, Davra Nimlo V'Nimtach. It's referring to threads that are spread out. And there's Rashi explains they believe la shemom etzmosav when you're spinning the threads, so somehow you turn the threads around on your fingers. So that's where the word meltacha came from. And I don't know much about the word meltacha. I'm not sure I know too much about spinning either. But that's what it's referring to. It's referring to the people who are in charge of the threads. Now that the Gemara mentioned those fancy threads, so the Gemara tells us the following story. When Rav Dimi came, he said the name of Yochanan, Shigula Bunyam ben Nunyam. There was an individual's name was Bunyam ben Bunyam. Interesting name. He was very, very wealthy, and he was in the fabric business. So he wanted to send the gift to Rabbi Danasi. So he sent him the Rabbi Suvne v'chumma salsla umalek. So he sent him all these different kinds of fabric of threads. Suvne v'chumma ki amguz opavet amguz. He sent him the first two kinds of fabrics. He sent him an amguz and a palgid amguz. So Rashi explains to you what exactly that size was, the amount of size of a certain knot. He sent them this other kind of thread, a different size of something. So my mulmala, what was that mulmala that he sent them? That it was the kind of thread, like we mentioned before, the amtacha. So again, just a 2-second tangent about this particular very, very expensive thread that was sent. So now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that with the Rabbanan, they instituted that the little children, once they know a little bit about business, so their sales will be valid. The Gemara says, what did they make a mistake? The kid goes to the store and he gets ripped off. So at what point do we say that we can claim this is a mekach tos? So Amar Biyona, Amar Bizeira, Achtus Kigadol, whatever the numbers are for an adult. So we know the Mishnayos and the Sugyas tell us about Mitzia that if I buy something from you and you cheat me on the price, so if it's a very, very small amount of cheating, you're not allowed to do that. But the Evid, the sales are going to go through. We're not going to insist that they return the money. We assume if it's less than a sixth of what the total value was, I'm probably Michael anyway. I'm probably willing to forgive it anyway. If it's a shtus, then I get to keep the item, but I have to return the sixth. The other person has to return the amount of money that it cheated me. If it's more than a sixth, they charge you $40,000 for a car that's worth $15,000, and the whole sale is bought, the sale is a mekhtos, and you have to start over again. So Rabbi Zeira said, those rules basically apply to a katan as well. So again, even though in HaTorah, there are no sales at all for a katan, the whole thing is null and void. Once Chazal instituted that there are sales for a katan, if he's old enough, then the dinim of onah, the dinim of cheating and tricking, carry over as well. Baya baya, baya the following shayla, matanaso mai, can a child under the age of bar mitzvah, above the age of peutos, can he give a gift to somebody? What's the question? So one could argue that it was a special takana that was made to enable him to survive in the marketplace. He's got to go and buy and sell things. He doesn't have to give Hanukkah gifts. So we don't have to make a special takana for a 10-year-old to be able to give a gift. Or maybe one can argue, you know, that if you can't give a gift to somebody, that's going to impact on your ability to deal with people. And we know, I give you a gift, you give me a gift, I give you a gift, you do a service for me. So that ability, it's almost like a marketplace. It's also like a shtickle business. So did Chazal institute, they extend this takana and say that the child can give gifts as well. My, what's the din? So Rav Yema Amar Ematanasa Matana. Rav Yema said it's not going to work. Ma'abravashi said it's okay. That the child can give a gift with the Rabbanan. So Avchuv Shadrula Kameh to Rav Mordechai. So they sent the message to Rav Mordechai as to what the other Amorim were fighting about, the two different opinions. But by mistake, they sent the sheet that's flipped. So it came, Rav Mordechai saw the message. So his message was that Ma'abravashi was the one who said it's no good. So Rav Mordechai realized that was a mistake. So Rav Mordechai was a Talmud Muvak of Rav Ashi. We quotes many, many times that Rav Mordechai was one of the close Talmidim of Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai realized that Rav Ashi's son had made a mistake. He had made a mistake because Rav Mordechai had the wrong version of the story. So Amalei, so Rav Mordechai said, Zilu Amr Lebeimar, he said, Lebar Mar, he said, go tell the son of my master, namely the master being Rav Ashi, go tell the son of my master, Lav Hachi Avuda. Didn't the following story happen? He have a coin mar chad karia ara chad karia darga. At one time, it happened that Rav Ashi was standing. He had one foot on the floor, and he had one foot going up the ladder. He was going up to the second floor of the base medrash. He was walking up the steps. So Rav Mordechai said, "I'm telling you exactly." Sometimes when you hear people give a story, they give all the details. And I'm telling you, this is where it was. This is what was raining that day. It was the middle of July. So he's saying, I'm telling you, this is exactly what happened. Rav Ashi, your father, was standing on the following step on the Beis Medrash. And I asked him, the Shaila Matana Samai, what's the din? And Rav Ashi said that Matana was valid. So how can you, Rav Ashi, disagree with your father? So the emes was, he wasn't disagreeing with his father, that the version of his sheet that was sent, but Mordechai was a mistake. So what did Rav Ashi really say? Achas matnas shchibirav, achas matnas bari. That a child with the Rabbanan can give a gift, all kind of halacha gifts. There's what's called the matnas shchibirav, matnas bari. Matnas bari is a regular gift. The matnas shchibirav was a special takanas of chavim that was instituted. If a person is very sick and we're afraid he may die, so he can give away all his property without doing a ma'aseh kinyan. He can just do words alone. Normally, you have to make a kinyan. And there was a special takana, the Mishnah said at the end of Bava Basra, the Chazal were afraid, the other person's sick, and he's trying to divide up his property. And we're going to tell him, sorry, we can't do it until we get all the lawyers and the kinyanim. And then he's going to get very upset. He's going to get all mixed up. So therefore, to calm down the cholim, they made a takana, just tell us what you want. Whatever you say is going to be mine. So they made a special takana called Matnas Shchibira, but there's a loophole built into Matnas Shchibira. He can always back out. Until he dies, he can actually change his mind. So that special takana Matnas Shchibira is a good bulk of the ninth parable of the Basra. That takana applies to peutos as well. It applies to children as well. It doesn't matter how big of a gift, how small of a gift. That gifts are also considered to be an integral part of the world of business, and therefore, Midir Rabbanan, they instituted that Ketanim can do that as well. So now we move on to other takanas that were made. Yeah. So that's what the Rishon talk about this. So the Gemara says that you can't give a lulav and esrog to your child. So come to Rishon and say, why not? Can he give it back to you? Takanas peutos. So Tosfos writes that this takana is only midrabbanan. So if you give it to him as a gift, he owns it minatorah. Now he tries to give it back to you. It's only yours midrabbanan. You can't be yotze midrabbanan. It's something that's not lachem midrabbanan.
Or accepted standard.
Right. Accepting it does assume he can be called a midaraisa, because my das is provided das has machna. So the Tosfos Sanhedrin that claims that minatori is called a minatori can't be machna and machna. Three other Rishonim disagree with that Tosfos. So now the Mishnah goes.
But according to that sheet of Tosfos, why do you have to have the kind of a micha mekach? If das has machna works midaraisa, so why micha mekach? I understand micha mekach needed takana.
Right. According to Tosfos, that should be a problem. That's what wants to argue, that may only works when I give him a matana, not when I sell something to him. Because when I sell something to him, he has to be machna the money to be minatora, and that luchari doesn't have the koch to do. So derech matana taka may be better almost than derech mechira. So now the Mishnah lists off a whole other group of dinim derabanan that weren't instituted so much with bnei tikkun olam, they were instituted with bnei darkei shalom. They didn't do rabbanan. They went to the just to make sure that peace reigns in the world. We should be fighting and yelling at each other. So some of them are dinim amunas, and many of them are out of dinim amunas. Elu dvarim amun bnei darkei shalom. So the following things were instituted by Chazal to make sure that peace prevails. Kohen kari rishon v'yachar of Levi v'yachar of Yisrael bnei darkei shalom. The basic setup of aliyahs is Kohen Levi Yisrael. Why is that? Because if it's a free for all, so everyone's gonna you're not giving me the first aliyah. Everyone's gonna start to scream and yell at each other. So therefore, everyone knows the coin gets it. We hope there aren't somebody Kohanim and Shul. So the three Kohanim will be able to make peace between themselves. But if you can have an every time you walk to Shul, so Rishon is open for everybody. That's gonna lead to a big machlokes. So Kohen Levi Yisrael. Afterwards, who gets maft? We'll let them fight it out at the end of the day. But I'm advised Yashar Rebbe Deki Shalom. There's a halacha mid the rabbanim when you make an eruv chetzeres. Whenever you have an area that's, you have to first surround it by walls. And even after it's surrounded by walls, if it's a public kind of an area, like a courtyard or an apartment building, so you have to get all the people in the building to chip in to buy some challah rolls or a box of matzahs, and they put it into one house, and that stays for the entire community. It's as if everybody's living in that house. That's a special takana of Shlomo HaMelech. Then you're allowed to carry in that area. So that box of matzahs, that eruv chetzeres, once you did it in Reuven's house, you should continue doing it in Reuven's house. You shouldn't switch it from one house to another, because people are going to get upset. People are going to get into a fight. So once Reuven said, why did you take my matzah away? Please, once you get it, that's where the box of matzah stays for that community. Yeah, everyone has to know where it is. Yeah. It's also helps a little bit. Yeah. So then everyone wants to know. So the box of matzah is in my house. So there are several Erev Chatzeres that are around town. Because they have different Erevin that overlap the, but there's one box that's not the all the Brooklyn County Erevin from Paramus to Englewood to Tenafly to T-Deck to I forget how far it goes. We have about five different Erevin that all intersect with each other. So there's one big Maximat to be mapped to all that that's sitting in my house. So anyone's interested, there's a box of matzahs sitting on the top refrigerator where the shul used to be. So there's a box, it says on it, Bergen County, area of containers from Tushin Pig to Tushin Pig Dalit. So if I don't let you in and take it, so the whole area is no good. So believe it or not, that a few months ago, somebody opened up the box of matzahs and they started, they ate one of the matzahs. I think it was probably someone in my family who didn't realize it was, I assume, I don't think it was from Schulte, but whoever it was. So I redid the box of matzahs a little bit later, because since the box was opened already, it's going to start to get stale. The matzah is supposed to be edible. My next place, I'm not sure what they're going to taste like. So just in case, I bought another box and I made a second air for sale. So it was still good to go until that place. Okay. Anyway, so now the top of the days. Bor shu korov la'ama mismali mishri daki shalom. They had a system where the water would be coming from the river, and then it would divert it to different streams, and then people would fill up their own private boros, their own private wells, their own private pits. So when they would fill up the water, they would block off the flow of the river. So it would dam up the river a little bit, so their pits would fill up first. So imagine there'd be fights. Who's gonna fill up first? So they made a takana that whoever's closest fills up first. Even if it doesn't make any sense. Just because I'm closer to the river, why should I have more schus than you? No, you have to come up with some kind of a system. So they made a takana, borshik of the arm of the smaller reach for a dakashom. So that way, at least we have a system, no one's going to fight about it. But to this chayav, Let's say I set out a trap. I set out an animal trap or a bird trap or fish nets or something, and I catch something. So I'm in a Torah, I don't really own it. What was I calling it exactly? So someone's gonna come and take the stuff out of my trap. So I'm gonna start screaming at them. So to avoid fights, they made it the corner. Whatever's in somebody's trap belongs to them, midirabanan. And if you take it from them, you're a gazlan, albeit midirabanan, b'nei daka shalom. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're a real gazlan, not just a daka shalom, a gazlan. So the Gemara's gonna explain what exactly that means a little bit later on. Then the Mishnah gives you another example. Let's say a child or a shaita or a cheresh finds something. So technically speaking, they don't own it because minat Torah, they don't have the ability to be kona. You don't even have das ches machna. So the pasuk shot is it's not theirs at all minat Torah. But if I can go ahead with their ice and take it away from him, that's not going to lead to too much peace. So the kid's father's going to come and start yelling at me. I'm going to yell at him. We're going to end up fighting each other. So to make life peaceful for everybody, they said, whatever child finds, help the kid keep his tennis ball that he found. Don't steal it from him. Don't be a gazel of Nedak Hashon. The ACM against the government, the says, no, that this is also considered to be real gazel. I think you must explain why exactly that is. Presumably, it's not real gazel. It's not a gazel of their ice. Something we'll talk about a little bit later on. Ani Aminachat Barosh HaZayis, let's say a poor person is trying to collect some of the olives from the of the olive tree. Mashatachtav gezlei dekashon. So he starts banging away at the tree to get some of the pear, whatever it is. He's banging away at the tree, and some of the olives fall down. So he doesn't really own those olives yet. He didn't make a kink for the olives. And somebody goes, runs in and grabs the olives. So he only was banging away for 20 minutes to get the olives down. And now they're on the ground. Somebody else jumps the gun and grabs the olives. So technically, Minat Torah, that's not gezeit. He didn't own the olives. It was hefker. But the Rabbanan, they made it the corner that we treated as being his. And if you take it from him, you're a gazel, made that kishalom. Rabbi Yosef against the government. Again, in this case, also Rabbi Yosef says that you're a real gazel. And the Gemara's going to question, how did you become a real bona fide gazel? Eim ha'machin b'yad ani av dikchav and v'lechat shichopeya b'nei daka shalom. If you set aside in your field, lechat shichopeya, let's say a person was collecting his crops, and he drops some stuff along the way, or he forgot to collect some of it, or he leaves over the corner like he's supposed to. All the different matnas and the different gifts from the field he's supposed to give to poor people. Technically speaking, they're really only for the Jews. Now, if non-Jews come and start to collect your lechet shechopeya, so minat Torah, they don't really have a schus to do that, but the rabbanan don't take them away. You get into a fight. Never, the guy's poor. He's come to collect a couple of pennies, a couple of pieces of grain. Let him collect it. Also, made that kisha. So the Gemara now questions the first one of those takonas that Chazal made a takona, Kohen Levi in Yisrael. Where did this come from exactly? We know what I mean. What's the source for this idea that you give the Kohen the Aliyah before the Levi? Amar of Masna, the Amakra, V'yichtav Moshe Satera Zos, V'yidral Kohanim B'nei Levi. The Pasuk says in Pashat Le'elah, from Hashemena writes that the Sefer Torah gives it to the Jewish people, so he gives it to the Kohanim, the descendants of Levi. So, Otto Analoya Dada, the Kohanim, Levi didn't know. I don't know Kohanim from Levim. It took me to Pashat Le'elah to realize that all Kohanim are by extension of Levim. So, Ella claimed the ratio of the Levi. So, the point that Pasuk is to teach me that you give it actually to the Kohen first and then to the Levi. So, this is talking about a Sefer Torah. Hashemena is giving them the Sefer Torah, telling them to read the Sefer Torah, to learn the Sefer Torah. So, too, when we open up the Sefer Torah in Shul, so we ask the Kohen to read before we ask the Levi to read. Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, Yitzchak Nafcha learned that from a different pasuk. Ve'yachav v'niksha kohanim b'nei Levi, pasuk by Egla Rufa, that the kohanim, the descendants of Levim, come forward. Atu analo yadina and the kohanim b'nei Levi. It took me two pashas to show them to realize that kohanim are descendants of Levim. And the commemoration, the same idea, coined first for other Levi. So again, two different psukim that are alluding to this fact that when you have a question of kedima, who comes first, the kohen precedes the Levi. Ravashi said a different pasuk. B'nei Amram Aaron and Moshe, by Bado Aaron like Disha Kodesh Kadoshim. At the in Divrei Yomim, it speaks about the sons of Amram, Aaron and Moshe, and then it says that Aaron was singled out to be Kodesh Kadoshim. So Aaron is Kodesh, Moshe is a Levi, but Aaron is Kodesh Kadoshim. So the Kodesh Kadoshim comes first. Chibar Abba says the following pasuk: Kidashto. It says in Parshas Emor that we have to be Mekadesh to Kohanim. So what does that mean? How will we as Yisraelim sanctify the Kohanim? Mekadesh to Chodavashim and Kedusha. That means that anything that has to do with Kedusha, they come first. Tandiver Vishmo, Kedesh to Chodavashim and Kedusha. The Ftoyach Rishon, that the Kohen gets he opens up, he leads in everything. Ulevarach Rishon, he's the one who gives the first bracha, so he leads the benching. Velito Mane Yafir Rishon. And even things which are not actual kedusha, not brachas, he always gets first at anything. So whenever you're dividing up stuff, so the Kohen always gets the first choice. Remember, we used to do this when I was in Kirby Avna. So we had six bachur would eat at any given table of the Chadar Rochel. So we always ate together. So Rabbi Koningsberg, now the Rashid by us, Rabbi Koningsberg was a bracha at the time. He's a Kohen. So we would always, when there would be six pieces of schnitzel on the table, so he would always get the first. We'd say, this is a mitzvah of Kiddushah. That's what the Gemara says. That Lita Mara Yafarishan. He would always get the first choice. And the pieces weren't so big. Trust me, it wasn't such a AI. But he would get the schluss of Lita Mana Yafarisha. So the Gemara says, now, wait a second. Once we're quoting all these psukim for this din, so then why does the Mishnah say Daki Shalom? The Mishnah makes it sound like it was made up by the Chacham at a later date just to prevent fights. Here, the Gemara is quoting psukim for this. Amu Abalar Yetzef, we made Daki Shalom, there I see. What are you telling me? It's only Daki Shalom. Isn't this a real din deraisa? So Amalei, he responded, deraisa, we play Daki Shalom. So it is Bnei Torah, but the reason why the Torah set it up was we play Daki Shalom. Yes, the Gemara, fascinating line. Kol HaTorah Kulu Bnei Daki Shalom. Everything's Bnei Daki Shalom. The Chsiv, Derechei Daki Nam, Chol HaSiv, Seh Shalom. Beautiful end of the sugya. So the Gemara says, Sataka, what's the answer? So we're still stuck with the question. So how can the Mishnah say it's Bnei Daki Shalom, which leads us to believe it was made up by the Chachamim, and yet the Psukim sound like it's a real bona fide in their eyes. So I have to hang in there until it's going to be the answer. So don't get into fights with everybody. Let the Quran get the first Aliyah today. Hopefully we'll figure it out by Monday what the answer to this question is. Okay. So that's up tomorrow. So what was the Maskana with the Shia tomorrow? 6:50
is 7:00.